I'd like to invite everyone to have an open Bible this morning as we prepare to engage in a study this morning about giving back to the Lord. And although we do not hear very many lessons concerning giving back to the Lord, it is very important that we all have a good understanding of our individual responsibility regarding our giving back to the Lord. So with that thought pressed upon our minds this morning, let's take just a few moments to study the very important topic of giving back to the Lord. And I want to begin this morning by asking the question, why give back to the Lord? That's a good question, isn't it? And if we are going to have a good understanding of this very important topic, we need to answer the question of why it is important that we give back to the Lord. And I want to begin by informing us that we give back to the Lord, just as we just done a few moments ago, to follow the example of the New Testament church and the instruction that was given to the New Testament churches. Going back there to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and in verse number 1, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, wrote, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." You see, this specific instruction that the Apostle Paul gave to the church in Corinth, it serves as a pattern for us today in regard to the collecting of funds and how funds for the church are to be raised and collected. You see, in the first century when Paul gave this instruction to the church in Corinth, there was a specific need. There was a need that arose in which the church had the responsibility to fulfill. And they needed to raise funds in order to fulfill that need. And Paul is giving them this instruction in how that was to be done. And the same applies to us today. We too, sometimes in the 21st century, have needs that the church has the responsibility to take care of. And there are often times when the church is in need to raise funds. And the example that is given for us in the scriptures, the approved example that we are to follow in the raising of funds for the church and the collecting of the funds for the church is given for us right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. So we give back to the Lord because there are needs that arise. There are, just as there was in the first century, needy saints that was in need of relief. There are needs that arise that the church has a responsibility to fulfill. And the only approved example that we have in regard to the raising of funds and the collecting of funds is right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verses 1 and 2. When we think about this example of the New Testament church and the instruction that was given in regard to the raising of funds, we need to be mindful of the fact today that many people deviate from this pattern that is given here in 1 Corinthians 16. There are many today who want to raise funds in a variety of different ways for the church. They want to have rummage sales. They want to have bake sales. They want to solicit, going around and solicit others for funds. But here we see the pattern given for us for the collecting of funds. You see, we are not to solicit visitors for our funds. We're not to have bake sales or rummage sales to raise funds for the church. But the funds for the church is to be raised through the collection, as we see here with the instruction that Paul gave to the saints in Corinth concerning the collection for the saints. and the pattern for how that is to be done, and we'll talk more about that as this lesson continues, is given for us in verse number 2. So, now that we know that we give back to the Lord to follow the example of the New Testament church and the instruction that was given to the New Testament churches, we also need to be mindful of the fact that we give back to the Lord to support the work of the church. As we previously mentioned, there was an issue that arose in the first century church in which there were needy saints in need of relief. And the work of the church involves benevolence. It involves relieving of needy saints. Again, we see this there in Acts chapter 11. Open up your Bibles with me, if you will, there to Acts chapter 11. And here in Acts chapter 11 and in verse number 29, we have an example of the early church and the disciples giving according to their ability to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. So here we see again that the work of the church involves the relieving of needy saints. We see there in Romans chapter 12 and in verse number 13, where Paul, writing to those first century Christians, he tells them of the need to be distributing to the needs of the saints. So we give back to the Lord to help support the work of the church. Another part of the work of the church involves evangelism. And we have an example there in Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 through 17. Follow me, if you will, there in your Bible, see Philippians chapter 4, where the church in Philippi, they helped support the Apostle Paul in his preaching of the gospel. I want us to notice this example given for us here in Philippians chapter 4. Notice these words of the apostle with me, picking up in verse number 15. There Paul, writing to the church in Philippi, says, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account." Here we have another approved example where the church in Philippi, they sent aid, they sent funds to Paul to aid him and to support him in his preaching of the gospel. And again, it's important to note, as Paul, even going back there to the same letter that we talked about in our hearing this morning, in 1 Corinthians, as Paul addressed those Corinthians of the need concerning the collection, he also tells them in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14, in regard to those that preach the gospel. He said, "Even so the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel." Simply put, we see where the church, they are at liberty to support those that preach the gospel of Christ. We have the example where the church in Philippi, they help support the Apostle Paul in the preaching of the gospel. The church here at Belleville, it not only supports its local preacher here, but it also helps support other men in the preaching of the gospel. And when you think about the work of the church, when you think about the benevolence and evangelism which is involved in the work of the church, be mindful of the reason for why we give back to the Lord. But we also give back to the Lord as an opportunity to return back to the Lord a portion of what He has so bountifully provided to us. Reading from the King James Version, there in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2, it reads, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in store," now watch it, "as God hath prospered him." Think about those words of Paul for a moment. Here Paul, in setting the pattern for the collection concerning the saints. He tells them to lay by in store and to let everyone lay by in store as God hath prospered him. You see, God, he's bountifully prospered each and every one of us. And as we're giving back to the Lord, our giving back to the Lord can serve and should serve as a reminder of the blessings God has given us. We need to be mindful of that when we're giving back to the Lord. We need to be mindful of the fact that everything belongs to God. And it is He who has prospered us. And when we are giving back a portion of what He has prospered us, it serves as a reminder of all the blessings God has given us. You see, brethren, we need to be mindful that God, the Lord our God, He's good to us. He is good to us. And when we give back to the Lord, we are not only returning a portion of what He has given us, but we also can express our appreciation to Him for all that He has blessed us with. So, now that we recognize some of the reasons for why we are to give back to the Lord, let's now discuss how our giving back to the Lord is to be done. And going back to the text there in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, again we see in verse 2 a pattern for us given for how our giving back to the Lord is to be done. And we see that in verse 2 that it is to be done upon the first day of the week. You see, we are to lay aside something to give back to the Lord upon the first day of the week, as Paul instructs here in verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 16. It's important to note that to lay something aside or to lay by in store, that denotes the idea of setting apart a certain portion to the giving back to the Lord. And here we see that the collection, concerning the collection, the church is to collect funds when? On the first day of the week. Again, this is the pattern that we are to follow in regard to our giving back to the Lord. Our giving back to the Lord is to be done on the first day of the week. The church is to collect the funds upon the first day of the week. This excludes all other days but the first day of the week. We also see that we are to give back to the Lord as we have been prospered by God. Notice, as we see there, as we talked about a few moments ago, Paul not only gives the instruction for everyone to lay by in store, but he also sets the rule for how this is to be done. It's to be done as God hath prospered him. I want us to notice something here. As we talked about just a moment ago, each and every one of us have been prospered by God. We've all been prospered by God. And when Paul makes it clear here, when he says, let every one of you or let each of you lay by in store as God hath prospered him, it's denoting a personal responsibility. We need to be mindful of that. As Christians, we have a personal responsibility to give back to the Lord. And when Paul emphasizes the fact to let each one of you or let every one of you, he's simply saying that all the saints are to participate in the collection or in the giving back to the Lord. It's not to be just confined to the rich only, but rather the poor as well as the rich are expected to contribute according to their ability. That's important. And each one of the saints are to esteem the collection as his duty and privilege. Again, the rule that is laid down here in regard to our giving back to the Lord is as God has prospered us. As God has prospered us. And it's just as applicable to us today as it was when Paul wrote this in the first century. You see, we need to be mindful to sometimes ask ourselves from time to time, does my giving back to the Lord adequately represent my ability to give? That's a good question. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves of that. Sometimes we need to ask ourselves that question. Does my giving back to the Lord adequately represent my ability to give back to the Lord? Again, we all have been prospered in various ways. Some have been prospered more than others. Those that have been prospered more than others have the ability to give back to the Lord more. And we need to be mindful of this personal responsibility that we have in regard to giving back to the Lord as we have been prospered. Again, going back to the text that we read a few moments ago there from Acts chapter 11 and verse 29. And that example of the early church and those disciples taking up a collection to relieve the needy saints in Judea. How did those disciples give? According to their ability. Simply put, as God had prospered them, as they were able, according to their ability. And we need to be mindful of the fact that as each of us have been prospered, that we need to be giving back according to our ability. Ability, knowing that it is a personal responsibility that we all have who have been prospered by God. But we are also to give back to the Lord as we have purposed in our heart. Bruce made mention of this in his talk this morning. And this comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Turn over there with me if you will there to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 7. Paul said, "So let each one give as he purposeth in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." As Bruce mentioned this morning, the idea of purposing something in one's heart means thinking about it and acting to accomplish it. When one purposes in his heart, he's thinking about it. And our giving back to the Lord must be intentional. It must be of clear purpose. It must not be haphazard, that meaning it must not be marked by a lack of plan. But rather, it must be something that we have already planned out. You see, our giving back to the Lord must be planned. It must not be a spur-of-the-moment decision. And when Paul says we are to give as we have purpose in our heart, he is simply saying that you are supposed to put some thought into what you are going to give. You see, this means we should decide beforehand what we are going to give back to the Lord each week. We should decide beforehand. It shouldn't be one of those spur-of-the-moment things that when the collection plate is being passed that we're scrambling in our pockets thinking, "Oh, I hope I grab a hold of a dollar bill instead of a $5 bill." It shouldn't be one of those things. It shouldn't be a spur-of-the-moment thing, but rather it should be something that we have already planned out. It should be something that we have already predetermined what we are going to give back to the Lord. We need to be mindful of that, brethren, upon every first day of the week when we're giving back to the Lord. We need to have it planned out. We need to give back to the Lord as we purpose in our heart. But we also are not to give back to the Lord grudgingly or of necessity. Simply put, our giving back to the Lord must be of noble motivation. It must not be something that is resentful or regretful. It must not be something that is done with a I have to feeling only. But rather, our giving back to the Lord must be of noble motivation. Again, not only do we need to plan out what we are going to give back to the Lord. And again, there's no set amount. There's no set amount. It's not. The scriptures doesn't say that, oh, you've got to plan to give back a certain amount back to the Lord. It's not like the Old Testament where they were to tithe and to give back 10%. That old law has been nailed to the cross. We now give back as we purpose in our heart. That means we give back not only according to our ability, but according to what we want to give back to the Lord. But we need to be mindful that this must be done without resenting giving back to the Lord. You see, unfortunately, there are some who do not have the right attitude when it comes to giving back to the Lord. They understand that they need to give back to the Lord, but they don't really like giving back to the Lord. They like to hold on to what they have. But they go ahead and do it anyway, but yet they do it regretfully. Goes back to that example that I said earlier, how there are some who scramble in their pockets hoping that they grab a hold of a dollar bill instead of a $5 bill. That denotes the attitude of those who give back grudgingly or of necessity. This must not be our attitude in giving back to the Lord. It must be of noble motivation. And that takes us right into our next point, as we see there in the latter part of verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 9. We are to give back to the Lord with a cheerful heart. Why? For God loves a cheerful giver. Again, this denotes a reflection of one's heart in giving back to the Lord. We are to give back to the Lord cheerfully, with a cheerful heart. For as Paul made it very clear here in verse 7, God loves a cheerful giver. I want you to think about that for a moment. You see, a cheerful heart disposed to give cheerfully shows a heart that is dedicated to God, His service, and His cause. And we need to remember that no service that is not cheerfully and voluntarily done, which arises from a true love for God, is acceptable in His sight. Remember that. We need to think about that in our giving back to the Lord. If we're giving back to the Lord grudgingly or of necessity, God's not pleased with that. That does not please God. But God is pleased when we give back cheerfully. And we need to be mindful that a cheerful heart shows a heart that is dedicated to the service and cause of God. And we need to remember that all service to God needs to be done cheerfully and voluntarily. But we also learn from the Scripture in regard to how we are to give back to the Lord, that we are to give back with liberality. It's important to note that liberality suggests the idea of acting without self-interest or expectation of something in return. And we have an example there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Turn with me in your Bibles there to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We have an example here of the early church and how they gave back with liberality. Notice these words of the inspired Apostle Paul, beginning here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and in verse 1. There Paul penned, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of what? their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, there it is again, as we talked about again, how did they give back? According to their ability, as God has prospered them. He says, I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they even went above and beyond, Paul says, that they were freely willing. Again, that's denoting that cheerful heart that we talked about. They were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we should receive the gift and fellowship of the ministering to the saints. I want you to hold on to those words of the Apostle Paul. I want us to be mindful of the example that the early church set for us in their giving. And may we also likewise follow that pattern that was set for us. And may we too be mindful of the need to give back to the Lord with liberality. I now ask the question, how is your giving back to the Lord? How is it? Are you giving back to the Lord in which way, in a way which is pleasing to Him? Are you? If not, why not? For our aim should always be to be well-pleasing to the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 9. Maybe there is one here this morning who has not yet submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord in His will. I want you to think about something. I want you to think about the ultimate gift of God, His Son, Jesus the Christ. You see, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. John chapter 3 and verse 16. Think about what God gave. His Son. His only begotten Son. And why did He give His only begotten Son? Because He so loved the world. That is, He so loved mankind. Simply put, God loves you. And because of His love, He gave His only begotten Son to come to this world and to go to that cross and to shed His precious redeeming blood so that we may have that way of being reconciled back to God. So we can have that way of having that access to God as we talked about this morning in our adult Bible class in Ephesians chapter 2. Remember that. And if you have not yet submitted yourselves in obedience to the Lord and His will, you too can have that hope of eternal life which God who cannot lie promised before time began by believing upon Jesus Christ. By believing that He is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God. By making a change in your life, you can repent of your sins. You can turn from sin and turn to God. You can confess Jesus Christ before men. And you can be buried with Christ through baptism this very hour. And you too can have your sins washed away. And may we all always remember that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather we must continue to remain faithful unto death. As Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this morning who's already submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will, but you've not been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God, and ask Him for His forgiveness, and get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour. And if you'd like to enlist of the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this morning who would be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your name may be, won't you let that need be made known now while we stand and sing the song, Max is Selected.